Timothy once said, "Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young, but be an example for the believers in your speech, your conduct, your love, faith, and purity." In the theme of Youth Sunday, I wish to convey this message to the youth of the church and our community, and that is, do not let anyone or anything prevent you from doing something just because you are young. This not only speaks to myself, but to many others who may think that just because they are too young, they can't make a difference in the community. I have been attending an overnight camp in New Hampshire since the age of 7. I have worked my way up through the rankings from a young camper excited about being away from home for 3 weeks to a leader in training, prepping and cooking meals for the campers, to a counselor in training, giving swim lessons to the kids, and now a counselor, leader in training coordinator, and head lifeguard this summer, a goal that I've dreamed of since I was a camper at 7 years old. But with great things comes great responsibility, and counseling the past 2 years has not been the easiest job, especially with the older campers. In fact, during those first 2 years, it was a real struggle. The challenging part of the experience was that I had kids ranging from 11 to 18 years of age. That means some of the campers were older than me, and these were no ordinary kids. The summer camp was geared towards inner city youth. Camp Hale aims to get these kids out of the dangers of the city into an experience that they never would have been able to share. And while many of the kids were amazing, some of the kids came from troubled backgrounds, which made them very hard to work with. But that only motivated me further. I heard many times that I was too young, or not good enough, or just another teenager, because truly, I was. However, this camp was important to me, and I wanted to share my best experiences with the campers and turn their lives around by not only giving them great opportunities and new passions over the summer, but by reaching out to them outside of camp. Through this experience, I was able to channel all of the love that was given to me through my second family here at Old South Church and use the experiences of leadership and care that everyone has given me to make a difference in the lives of these young men. Old South Church in many forms and ways has shaped me into the person I am today. This community that I have grown up with has nurtured me and given me the chance to have a word no matter what age I was. From deciding I was ready to move on from the baby room before I was 2, to getting coached by Nancy's husband, Peter, on how to deliver a reading on Nicholas's baptism when I was 8, teaching me to speak slowly and enunciate, to performing a major role during the Christmas pageant when I was very young, to coordinating a worship for Youth Sunday with my fellow peers. Without the community, I don't know where I would have been this year. The voice that the Sunday school teachers have given me has not only shaped my life, but helped me shape the lives of others, and words cannot describe how that makes me feel. I have shared many experiences over the past decade and have met some of the best friends who I will never lose contact with. It is very sad for me to be parting from Old South Church when I am heading off to college, but the lessons I have learned here will stay with me forever. If there is one thing that I can take with me from my experience at the church, it is that there are no limits to what I can accomplish, especially with the support that my peers have given me through my 16 or more years here. And so, there is no better quote to sum up the love that my youth group and church has given me, but from my favorite childhood movie, Lilo and Stitch, which says, "Ohana means family, and family means nobody gets left behind." Because even through the roughest times I've had over the past few years, my friends and family here at Old South Church have always had my back and shaped me into the strong character that I am today.
Good morning. My name is Hunter Fitzsimmons. I'm 19 years old and a graduate of Minuteman High School in Lexington. I've been coming to Old South Church my entire life. I've enjoyed the time that I spent with my friends in church, school, and youth group, and I have many pleasant memories of many events, such as participating in the Christmas pageant, attending retreats, cooking pancakes for the church breakfasts, and trying the patience of our church school teachers and youth group leaders. My youth group colleagues and I have all come a very long way. In addition to having fun, we've also learned a lot about ourselves and our values. I'll be honest, I'm not the most religious member in my youth group, but even so, I found that my own values have been strengthened by my experiences at this church. Perhaps because I'm a student who learns differently, I've always been a person who is accepting of others and tolerant of differences. When I look at the diversity of the members of Old South Church, I see people who are all different and still accept each other, and this is very inspiring to me. Life has presented plenty of challenges to me, and some things have come easier than others. One of my personal strengths is perseverance, and my secret weapon is that I don't give up. Allow me to give you two examples. Over the past 3 years, I have ran cross-country for my school. For those who may not know, cross-country is as much about motivation as it is about skill. As you run the course, there will be times in which you feel you can't afford to finish the race. Your legs and arms will start to ache, your heart beats at an increasingly fast pace, sweat drips down from your forehead, and yet you still bring yourself to pull through and keep running. You emerge from the woods, back for another lap around the track. You tell yourself that you've come this far. You go a little farther, and somehow you finish the race at a price of being exhausted. I've had the same type of experience when in the classroom. Minuteman is a career technical high school that offers a variety of different shop classes. The shop class that I participated in was environmental science. One of my assignments this spring was to present a lesson about a topic for my class's competency examination review. The topic that I chose was wildlife biology. At first, I found the assignment to be overwhelming, but later on, I found myself to plug away to the point where I felt confident with the lesson. When my moment came, I got up in front of the class, and I presented my lecture with almost no problem at all. And as a result, I impressed all of my classmates and my teacher. In conclusion, I'm thankful for Old South Church, my teachers and group leaders, and most importantly, all of you. I know that with your acceptance and encouragement and my perseverance, anything is possible.
Last year, my junior year of high school, I suffered my second concussion while playing soccer in less than a year. This concussion was more severe than the previous one and took almost three times as long to recover. Again, this was my junior year, the most important year in my high school career, and I fell behind for a significant portion of it. I was stuck between the person I had been, the person I was becoming, and the person I truly wanted to be. With the added stress of the concussions, I had to keep up my grades academically, but also find a way to get back into sports at my school once I recovered. I felt like I was failing at everything that I was trying to accomplish. Then, one Sunday, John Edgerton delivered a stirring sermon about agriculture, emphasizing how the heavy, essential part of the grain falls down before the harvester's feet, and the unnecessary bits float away in the wind. At first, I did not see how agriculture related to my life. Then I had an epiphany. The essential parts of my personality and morals will stick with me forever, and the parts of myself that I do not need to succeed will float away. I realized that in order for the successful and inspired me to reappear, I had to let the unnecessary bits go and let myself grow. That sermon made me cry. I needed to take back control of my actions and my responsibilities. I left church that day with my parents thinking about how my beliefs impacted who I was. I needed to hold on to the necessary parts of me, the parts I was proud of that helped me be the person that I ultimately wanted to be. I didn't always want to come to church, but looking back, I'm so glad that I did. Old South has been a safe space for me. During the rough times, it was a place I could come and not worry about my concussions, or my grades, or my teachers, or my friends, and the pressures that came along with them. I just had a community asking me, "So, how was your week? How are you feeling?" Since my recovery, now I can look back and see all that I have overcome and gotten through. I remember how far I've come with the help of this great church. John's sermon made me think. It made me think about all my decisions and pinpoint where I made each mistake, not in a bad way. I didn't feel bad about myself. I didn't feel like I would be penalized by God or the church or my family and friends. I just felt like the only person who needed to accept myself was me. Today's scripture reminds me of that Sunday, the day that I realized that I needed to do things according to my own beliefs. Through this scripture, I once again think about the person I want to be for the next 4 years of my life as I attend Bryn Mawr College. I think about the actions that will define me as a person. I think about how others will perceive me and react to the person that I am. As I read the last sentence of the scripture, "Keep on doing these things, because if you do, you will save both yourself and those who hear you," I started to wonder how my actions would help others. I now understand that through good deeds and helpful actions, I can help others. My actions can be used as an example for others if they are good enough. I can help others by being the best person I can be, and hopefully others will try to do the same. Since my small revelation in church, I have found extreme joy in rowing crew. I am now a recruited varsity athlete for Bryn Mawr College rowing team. I was accepted early decision, and I attribute all of these good things to my change in character last year. I was able to mature and figure out the person I wanted to be through my struggles of last year. I have learned the importance in my convictions and beliefs, and I can now help others by helping myself.
I don't know about you, but I love words. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That, for me, is the ultimate expression of all we can do with words, and of all that we could do. Words are holy. And what truly fascinates me is where words come from, what their roots are, what they're all about. This is why I found it so fitting when John Edgerton told me that the word for poet comes from the ancient Greek, poiein, a verb meaning to create. Poetry is a verb. Poetry is an action. It is movement, restless and alive. Poetry unearths emotions, instigates actions, pokes and prods and flows inside of us. Poetry comes from a verb. And a poet is one that takes poiein, creation, as their mission. The poets are God's people. Paul, Timothy, Solomon, and the psalmists, Angelo, Donne, Whitman, and Wheatley, they take God's words into their hands. They prophesy, not because they know the future, but because they create that future. They are the music makers. They are the dreamers of dreams. They listen to the tongues of fire that rest on their shoulders and give them words and ideas that break down the barriers of language itself. How do you do that? How do you create a creator who makes poetry out of the poets? God, you say, the first and greatest of poets, the Word herself. All poems come into being through her, and without her, not one poem comes into being. But I think there's something more. Paul writes to Timothy, poet to poet, "Let no one despise your youth. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the council of elders." Poets to poets. If poetry is a verb, if poetry is movement, then it flows from one being to another. God created us as poets. but we too create each other. Old South, you laid your hands on us when we were infants, first struggling our way into the world. You laid your hands on us when we were baptized, when we were confirmed. You were poets, and we were your poetry. You made a poem of us, and you made us poets. So let no one despise you, but set the young an example in words, in meanings, in love, in faith, in creation. Let your poetry resound. Teach us how to speak and how to listen. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you through prophecy with the laying on of hands by the poets that made you. Put your poetry into action. Devote yourself to your words. Continue in these things, for in doing this, you will make poets of both yourself and your hearers.